Hey, I'm Connie Jones, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Warrior Arise podcast, where I have candid conversations with people like you and me who've spent years trying to do enough and have enough to be enough, but who lived in survival mode. It's time to end the vicious cycle of overwork, overwhelm, and exhaustion, and awaken to your true essence so you can live in freedom and soar to next level success in life, work, and business. Let's do this. Hey, warriors. Welcome to another episode of the Warrior Arise podcast. I'm Connie Jones, your host, and we have with us today Reverend Tammy Melton. I love her, and I can't wait for you to hear her and all the wisdom she has to share, and you will just see her heart and her fire for God and for helping people live in freedom. Tammy's a licensed professional counselor in the state of Georgia, and she's an ordained minister with Harvest Network International. She started Legacy Ministries for Christ, which is a nonprofit Christian-based organization with the theme verse, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ, and that's based on Ephesians 4:12. She has a counseling and training center that offers professional and ministerial counseling, as well as training for lay people in ministry. Tammy also started an LLC entitled Legacy Freedom for her speaking and writing, and she's a Christian speaker and has authored two books, Loving God with All Five Senses and Refining Relationship with God, Self, and Others. And I'm sure that she has many more books in her. She has such incredible wisdom. And welcome, Tammy. We are so excited that you're here with us today.
Thank you. What an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Well, you are just, you're a gem in so many ways. We heard your introduction. We heard all the, you know, the formality of what you've done and all the impact that you're making, but I want to hear it from you. I want our audience to hear it from you, from your heart, who you are, what you do, and what is your true passion and your purpose? How are you living that out every day and impacting people for the kingdom of God?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
That is a big question. Yes, because there's so much that you do. But share, and we'll dive into that, in detail. But just share with us like the overall picture of like what's on your heart when you think about, you know, when you talk about your passion and your purpose.
That verse, Ephesians 4:12, I think is my life verse, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. And I just, that's everything I do. I want that to be in the background, you know, to remember. And part of that is to help people find their call. I mean, even as I'm talking to you, Connie, I'm getting like stirred in the spirit. Like there's people out there listening, and you people, there is this stirring in you to do something for God and make a difference. And it might be something that you have never even seen anybody else do. That's basically sort of what God has led me to do. I don't really know of another ministry that's doing quite what we're doing at the Legacy Ministries Counseling and Training Center. So whatever it is that you're called to, I just have this desire to help you get there. So like we have a speakers group and a writers group and different other things. We offer workshops. But we started finding that a lot of people can't get up and go do what God's called them to do because of their inner wounds. And as a minister, I was, you know, ministering, I was counseling people like a pastoral counselor, even though I'm not a pastor of a church, but, you know, leader of a ministry. And the Lord gave me this tool of inner healing prayer. And more people started coming to that than our trainings. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you doing here? So I went and got my master's in professional counseling to accommodate that. So now we have both counseling and training. And I like to say, like a train has two tracks. Legacy Ministries has two tracks, one for counseling and one for training. And then the, you know, railroad ties and all of the gravel underneath it, that's our prayer and worship. We do prayer meetings too and stuff like that, because it's all about the Lord. I can't heal anybody. I can only take them to the one who can heal. So, and I constantly am reminded that I don't have all the answers, but I know who does. And let me just take you to the one who does. So all of that just excites me. And, you know, that's what I do.
It's such a beautiful, beautiful passion and purpose. And you and I share that same passion, that same purpose. And I've talked a lot about inner healing. We've talked about actually a lot about inner healing on this podcast. But I want to talk about it even more today. And hear, you know, your thoughts on it and your experiences with it. And, you know, I've shared all about it, my experience, my own personal experience with inner healing in my book, Warrior Arise. And it is an incredible tool that helps set people free, helps set me free, so that I was in bondage too. Just like you said, I see that over and over and over too, that people can't even recognize their true identity or live in their true identity or live in their true giftings and their true essence, and their purpose or understand their purpose until they heal those wounds, because those wounds are creating a filter that's blocking them from being able to see who they really are and what they're called to do. And so I love that you brought that out right at the beginning. And I had that same passion stirring in me. That's, you know, I can feel the spirit just stirring, because that is, you know, we're not called to just struggle, strive, and survive through life. We all have a special piece of God's heart, and we have our own little magic inside, our own little combination of His chemistry that we are to unleash into the world as the true essence of who He created us to be. But we're not doing that because we're in bondage.
Exactly.
That's just, you know, so let's dive into that. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
And because you and I both, I love talking about that, because you and I are so both just, you know, that's what we do.
Well, I do inner healing prayer training, on a weekend workshops.
Yeah. You've trained and some of our therapists at Arise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you look into that, you will find some criticism on the internet about it. Now, I think there's a few reasons for that. There are some people who are not doing it correctly, probably. Here's the thing. Here's what we need to remember. And when I first started out in it, I probably had some problems with it. And people went back to their memories and maybe had some trauma that... and that does happen to a certain extent, but mostly I like to tell my clients, look, it is not my intention. It is not God's intention to take you back somewhere to re-traumatize you. Okay. So instead of that, think of it like this. Think of it like just Jesus taking you by the hand, taking you back there at the edge of it. You're already through it. You're in a safe place, but He is going to show you something that will help you to be free of it. That one little string that is keeping you tied to that unhealthy soul tie to that traumatic experience, God's going to show you His perspective and cut free. So it doesn't have to be hard.
And we run from, I mean, you know, I was having this discussion with somebody the other day that we were not created to be such pain avoidance, surviving people. But because we live on earth where evil has dominion and where there's pain and we learn to cope with our pain, that becomes our life. We become, instead of pleasure seeking and connected, we become self-protected, defended, survival beings who are always perceiving that there's a threat, and we become pain avoidant. We're trying to do whatever we can to prevent our future pain.
And in the meantime, you're stuck in pain.
But that's exactly, yes, exactly. But we don't realize that we are in pain every single day and struggle until we go back to those places where we're stuck emotionally because of those painful, disappointing experiences or those messages or those, you know, big T or little T traumas that happen to us that are keeping us in bondage to those things because they are creating pain for us. And so it is until we're able to get free from that, we're not able to show up fully in our lives, our relationships, we're not free in any area. We can't We're not going to show up in our businesses, our work, our ministries, any of it, until those things no longer run us. So tell us, like, when we talk about, you know, what is it? What is this, you know, this inner healing prayer, and who would be like, can you think of an example of something so that we can make it really concrete and specific so people can really, really understand it? Yeah. There's so many examples. You've done this so much.
Okay. So let me just say that what I believe it is getting God's perspective, because God's perspective always brings peace and calm. Okay. So for instance, let me just give an illustration. If you were to look down and see a rather large black spider, you know, what would you do? And if you're like me, it just, you know, your heart start racing in this little, spider. Okay. But what if you looked closer at it and it wasn't a spider at all? It was some black string that was a big wad of, you know, all tangled up, and it was just laying there and it looked just like a spider. Then immediately peace and calm comes to you. Why? Because the truth just set you free. So now it just to have well have been a spider to you physiologically, because that lie was your truth. That was what you were filtering, that's a spider. But then we ask God, what do you want to show me about that? And he goes, well, that's not a spider at all. It's a piece of string. And then that brings calm. But sometimes it really is
a spider, right?
Okay, so there's a spider.
Sometimes there was a sexual abuse,
right.
Or sometimes there was an abusive situation, or you were mistreated in some way. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So how does it
heal? Then, Lord, that? Yeah. What do you want to tell me about that spider? And if the Lord says, well, yes, it's a spider, but he's under my feet.
That's right.
Then his perspective is still bringing peace and calm. And so what I like to do with my clients is I like to go and I like to find out your lie-based pain and your truth-based pain, because there are some truth-based pains, and especially if you have a lot of adverse childhood experiences. Okay, so there's lie-based pain and there's truth-based pain. Let me give you an example. So a girl's father leaves when she's 5 years old. And this is just, I'm not thinking of any particular person. I'm just making up something that I hear these things a lot. So a girl's father left when she was 5 years old, left the family. And that's truth-based pain. I don't care who you are. If your parents divorced, it's going to affect you in some way, some more than others. But then this girl thinks, it's my fault. If I'd only been a better daughter, or if I had been, you know, somehow, then that it's my fault. So that is lie-based pain coming from the truth. So we like to find those things, you know, is it lie-based? Is it truth-based? And get it healed. Now, what you'll find is the people that are critics that don't like that, they will tell you the scripture verse that says, I forget those things which are past and I move forward. And they say, that's why you shouldn't be looking back. Well, first of all, I don't take people to certain memories. I let the Lord do it in inner healing prayer. Lord, what do you want to say to them about this? What's the source and origin of this anxiety? And they might end up in a memory of a past thing. But anyway, those people that are critical of it, what they're taking that one scripture out of context, because that scripture is out of Philippians, and it's Paul talking about all of his religious training as a rabbi and all of that, and everything that he did in religion before he even knew Christ. And he says, I forget all that and I go forward. So, you know, that is the wrong thing. Then you might have somebody say, well, what about the finished work of Christ on the cross, the finished work of the cross? Then you shouldn't, you know, have to go back. You should be all healed. Okay, well, I like to say, yes, praise God for the finished work of the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Again, going to Paul in Romans 7, and he says, I do what I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I don't do it. You know, and he's back and forth with the flesh and the spirit, and even Paul had all these inner turmoil stuff going on. But then, and that was after the finished work of the cross. Then he goes into Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to Christ, I mean, to those who are in Christ, et cetera. So this is a tool. It's not the only tool. I use other tools too, but it's a very good tool to help free somebody of that bondage.
Yes. Because how will that bondage, you know, we've alluded to it and I've said it, you know, clearly how it keeps us, but how does it specifically, like, you know, that little girl who is a 5-year-old and her dad leaves her and she thinks it's her fault. How might that show up later on in her life to keep her in bondage? How is that keeping her stuck? I mean, we could do the whole podcast episode on just that, how it manifests in different ways in her relationships, in her business, in her career, in her, you know, in finances. I mean, whatever, you know.
Let's say she's married and every marriage has a little bit of tension every once in a while that you have to work through. And let's say that they have this little argument and the husband leaves out the front door because he's got his own set of issues of inner woundedness. And he can't handle it, so he's doing the silent treatment and he leaves. So then all of a sudden, she's back to that pain when dad left. And, you know, he won't, what if he doesn't come back? My dad never came back. You know, what if he does? And, oh, it's my fault. What,
it's
you know,
my fault. That's right.
On and on. I mean, there are a number of different things. And it just triggers that original pain. When you're free of that, then you can handle the current situation. And people come in for counseling all the time. So clients come in so often with their current day situation just so heavy on them. And they want to talk about that. And I like to say, well, let's put your husband over on the side for a minute. Let's go to your heart because you're the one that's here. And I'm not saying he's doing right or he's doing wrong. It's not like I'm quote unquote siding with him. Even if he is doing wrong and he's hurting you, let's go see why in your own heart. And I tell people that I train in inner healing prayer when they want to do it for themselves. Here's a classic example. Just bow your head and say, Lord, what do you want to show me about why what he said or did affect me like it affects me? And then you're on a journey.
That's exactly right. And one question leads to another. Yep.
Yes. And I love it when someone will come back and say, hey, my husband did the same thing he did before, but it doesn't affect me like it did anymore.
Isn't that beautiful? Oh my. Or like, I mean, I've had tons of clients over the years who have had horrible traumatic experiences, like sexual abuse as a child. I mean, horrendous things that literally after we did one session did not affect them. Like they could sit, they were so afraid to go back there, so terrified and paralyzed about even talking about it and the emotion that came up from it. And it bothered them every day and it affects their relationships and the way they feel about themselves. And then after one session, I'm not saying everybody's that way. Sometimes it takes more than one, but after one session, in a lot of cases, they could absolutely talk about it like it happened and they remember it. Of course, it doesn't go away, but it doesn't affect them emotionally and they're not in pain. They don't feel pain over it. And that's true healing. That is true freedom. And that's what I am and that's available to us. Why are we staying stuck in the pain? Why are we staying stuck in the struggle when Jesus says, I've come that they may, to set the captives free, I can't remember all the words of it now, but like, you know, that verse that, you know, to set them free, to release them. And we don't. And yet we stay in bondage because we're afraid of the pain, yet we're living in pain all day, every day.
It's a control issue. Like you said, I think you said earlier in this, that they think that that's their way of protecting themselves. And like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go where it hurts. And sometimes we don't go there. I say, okay, well, I'm not going to make you go anywhere. But Lord, what do you want to show her or him about why they don't want to go there. What do you think would happen if we did? And then it comes out.
And the Lord is so kind and gentle and loving as he, you know, as he talks to us and as he walks us through that. And like, who better to have to go back through that in a different way with than God? You know, unless we don't understand the character of God, unless we, you know, which that was the biggest thing that in my own healing, as I went along, that was one of the biggest things that I struggled with, because I didn't want to take it, my biggest pain, to God, because I didn't trust him with it, because I didn't really know who he really was. I believed lies about him. And then the other, you know, and then the other thing is, I didn't know the other thing that really helped me in inner healing prayer was that that's actually how I, crazy or not, learned to hear the voice of God. That was the first, truly, because I was raised in such a religious, legalistic atmosphere, environment, that I didn't understand how to hear the voice of God. And so when my therapist started doing inner healing prayer with me, that's the first time I ever heard the voice of God. I mean, not audibly, of course, but I heard it very clearly in my spirit. And that changed everything for me. It single-handedly changed, more than anything, changed my relationship with God going through that kind of prayer.
Well, I love it. And then, you know, on the side of the church that is more charismatic and operates in those gifts more, sometimes you have people who just want to come to you, let you give them that word and let you hear from God for them. And I like to tell them with this tool, look, I mean, I actually do operate in those kind of gifts, but this is not for that. It's not for you to hear from me what God says. It's for you to start hearing what God says for yourself. And that's then they'll say, but I don't know if this is God or not. Because I'll say, Lord, what do you want to say or show to them? And we just wait. And then I'll say, you know, what's coming to you? Well, I don't know if this is the Lord or not. I say, well, we need to know what you're thinking too. So you just tell me whether it's the Lord or not. And then the Lord, he ends up, you know, connecting the dots. And then they're like, wow, I really do hear from the Lord.
Yes, it's such a beautiful thing. Wow.
It is.
So you're doing that, and how much of that would you say that you do on a daily basis versus the training? Like, give us
So I do inner healing prayer at least 4 or 5 days a week for sure. And it depends on the client. Sometimes it's the right tool, sometimes it's not. Sometimes someone will be a very good candidate and receptive for it. And sometimes, you know, they're not. So it just depends. I do all my other techniques that I've been taught from professional counselors, right? But it's really neat for me when I actually do the training, and we offer once a month, continued training for those who've been through the original basic course. And it's neat to me to see them learn how to do it for themselves. Cause I like to say, some people that are taking the training, you're not going to be doing this with other people. You're just going to be doing it for yourself. Or maybe your family, whoever's open to it in your family. And then others, I know they are. And I also teach the difference between, you know, this tool and counseling, because I'm not saying I'm training you to be a counselor, and you're not going to get a certificate, because I don't want anybody to say, oh, she's, you know, training them to be counselors. But I'm telling you, with what's going on in this world and what is up ahead, there are not going to be enough counselors, I don't think. But we have God, and I believe, and I train this to people. If you are a Christian, even if you don't have Reverend in front of your name like I do, you are in the ministry. You are in the ministry, and we should have that abundant life and the fruit of the Spirit operating in us. When you don't have the fruit of the Spirit operating in you, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, then you need an inner healing prayer session.
That's it. Yes. When we are living in something other than what we were created to live in, which is, And we're not created to live in stress every day. We're not created to live in lack and I call it survival living. You know, that's not our portion. That's not in our inheritance. And we just accept that. I get so passionate about this. We just accept that as the norm, and it's not. So let's talk for a second. Let's talk about what's going on in the world today. And we don't have to get political. I don't want to get political in here. That's not what we're doing. Right. We're talking from the heart. What is going on in the world today? What is the heaviness? What is the darkness? And why is it requiring more of therapists right now? Because you're right. Every single one of us are, I know, you know, we're inundated, we're packed full, which, you know, I believe that God always provides for the needs of his people. So we're not overloaded. I don't mean that, but like, you know, it's definitely an uptick in how much people are struggling these days. And the struggles are different. And so what are you seeing? And what are you like, speak from the heart and from your spirit for just a minute about like,
yeah, so
what is happening?
All of this stuff going on. I mean, the pandemic, the racial tension, the political tension, the, you know, Afghanistan, all these different things. It's really just a heaviness. It's oppression. And, you know, the Bible warns us that these things will happen. The other day at like, I don't know, early in the morning, 4 or 5 in the morning, the Lord woke me up and I went, and I think I'm starting to get the stirring of starting a series of little mini books, like booklets or something on overcoming and like overcoming oppression, overcoming fear, overcoming, you know, whatever. There's a bunch of things now.
There's a great need for that right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, what is pressing in on you?
Yes. Because we don't know how to own our power and our authority in that. We just get inundated by it and get knocked down, you know, on our butts, and we live there and we don't know what to do when we're in that. And there aren't many people, no offense to the church, you know, but no, I mean, that's not, but nobody's teaching us how to do this. I never learned how to do it until I was in the middle of a huge breakdown and had to figure it out for myself by reading and studying and, you know, and praying and finding out and moving close to God. And thank God now I do know, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, but see, the Lord does not want us to have tension in our lives, whether it's inside us or it's in a relationship. It's not God's will to have tension. Now, he did say, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And like, if he's in us, then we should be overcoming all that. Now, here's a problem. Maybe you don't know him. And so you got to know him. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, you know, in this world, you will have the tribulation, but I have overcome the world. And I want to leave you with peace, not as the world says, not as the peace the world offers, but, you know, this, I am the Prince of Peace. So what he did for us on the cross, oh my goodness, thank you, Jesus. If we accept that, thank you, Lord, for paying the price for me. You have conquered already death, hell, and the grave. And even if I get COVID and die, if I have you in me, it's for Christians, it's a win-win. We get healed, or, you know, he heals us by taking us to heaven, whatever. But, you know, just the fear factor on both sides, really. You're afraid of COVID, getting COVID, you got to get the shot. And then you're afraid, you got to go do it because of fear. Or on the other side, no, I don't want the shot because it's just experimental. And I'm afraid if I get it.
I'm afraid. Yes.
Fear on both sides. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Be led of the Lord and don't have fear. I mean, there's a scripture that says we can drink any deadly thing and it won't harm us. Okay, so, and I'm not telling anybody what to do, but I just am tired of, even in the church, and especially on the media, it being
Fear-based. Everything's fear-based. Fear-based,
exactly.
Well, and that's the number one, I'd say fear and shame, obviously. And those were the first two things that happened to Adam and Eve when they turned away from God, not because they were bad, but just because they were deceived. They were deceived. And they, when they turned away from God and they disconnected from God, the first two things in the garden came were shame and fear. And those are the two biggest weapons of the enemy, are shame and fear, to take us out on a daily basis, to disconnect us from God. And the enemy uses that all day long, every day. He uses a fear cycle in our relationships. He uses fear in our finances. He uses fear in our health. I mean, it's rampant, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say guilt is sort of tied to shame, except there is a healthy guilt and there is an unhealthy guilt. I don't think shame's ever from the Lord. He might convict you, but he's not going to condemn you.
Never. That's right.
Here's the thing. Healthy guilt is, yes, I made a mistake and I need to repent and give that to the Lord. But how many times does it take? Once. Because if we, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So once. So if you confess that and he's already forgiven you, why do you keep talking about it? Why do you keep having to confess it? And why have you not forgiven yourself?
Forgiven yourself.
That is guilt from the enemy right there.
Yes.
And it needs to be gone.
There you go. Amen. And if people struggle with that, we're not saying that it's a matter of just deciding. It is a willful choice, but that's where oftentimes we need help from the Lord to be able to see. We may need a picture of what that looks like. I know for me, I held on to some things for years, and in an inner healing process, in that inner healing prayer, you know, I handed those things. We just used a visualization, and I just handed those things out to the Lord, and I laid them out there as kind of weeds in my life, as these heavy weights, and he turned them all into wildflowers. I mean, he turned them into this beautiful garden right there in that healing prayer, you know? And so sometimes we just need help, and sometimes we just can't do that for ourselves in our head. We're designed to just do it between us and God, but sometimes it's not that easy. And so that's where people like you, you know, and are there to help walk through that process with people.
And take the stigma off of having to go get a professional counselor.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Truth be told, all of us need one from time to time.
That's exactly right. You and I both have one. I mean, that's not, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's actually healthy when we have another person who can lead us through the struggles, because we were not created to struggle. So, but anyways, well, let's talk about, I want to move into your books for a little bit, because you talk about, one of your books is on relationships, and the other book is loving, you know, God with all your senses. And so let's tell me about a little bit more about those and what you're doing with those, and who are those books for?
Well, the first one I wrote was, Loving God with All Five Senses. And it was, I don't know, over a decade ago. And what happened was, when I started Legacy Ministries, I started a summer where I fasted the telephone.
That's a great thing to do.
And I told my friends, hey, if you need prayer or anything, you can email me, but I'm not going to be on the phone. I'm going to just dedicate this summer to, you know, seeking God and being with my family. And seeking God for the direction for Legacy Ministries. Well, instead, I found myself just so enthralled with the Lord and his presence, and just like, oh God, the hunger and thirst just rose up in me. And I just said, God, I love you. I want to love you with my whole being. I want to love you with all five of my senses. And I heard the Holy Spirit in that still small voice say, yes, you do. And you're going to write a book about that. And I was like, what? And that was not on the radar. So that was when my kids were really young, and they're 26 and 23 now. So, but yeah, so my husband let me go to a hotel and just seek the Lord on the book. And the Lord had me take my hand and trace it on five sheets of paper representing all the five senses. And he laid out the book. Day one is how we're made in that sense. I did research on that and made spiritual application. Day five is what it represents in the spirit. Day two is how misuse of that sense in the flesh hinders the development of it in the spirit. And three and four walk up to five. And it's also laid out where there's an optional going deeper Bible study at the end. So you can do it either alone or with a group. Taste represents desire, passion for God. Touch represents worship. Sight represents vision and purpose. Hearing represents faith, and smell represents discernment. So that's how that's laid out. Fast forward to my latest book is Refining Relationships with God, Self, and Others. And I actually was asked to speak at a conference on relationships. And I got so much material, Connie, that it was like, okay, this has got to be a book. And so that's how that came to be. And, so it even has some evaluations in the book. How are you with your relationship with God? And it has a little thing, self-assessment. How are you with your relationship with yourself? And that right there, a lot of people skip. But he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you have problems with yourself and you don't love the way God made you, and, if you're not happy in your own presence, exactly. So we talk about that. And then the majority of the book is about relationships with others. And it's one of those, you don't have to read it from the beginning to the end. You can just pick a chapter that you need, like the danger of anger or dealing with conflict, different things like that. And it ends with Jesus being our ultimate example for relationships. I'll give you an example out of that. So we don't need to be giving someone a level of intimacy that they're not meant to have in our life. Okay, for instance, Jesus had where he got alone with the Father, and that was the inner circle right there. Then the next circle, he had the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. He did a lot with them that he didn't with the others. Then he had the 12 disciples. Then you have the 70. Then you have the multitudes. So be careful that you're not sharing something that you just need with, even with just God or your husband or just maybe a best friend or two, but not, the other. That's the example of that. And if I had to pick right now something else out of relationship with others that I think is very important, there's a chapter called Hidden Expectations.
Oh, I can already tell that. Yes. If we're not checking our expectations,
woo. Exactly. And so it works both ways. You have to find out what your expectations are of, like, for instance, your husband or your wife or, and you need to lift those expectations off of him and give them to the Lord. Now, people will say, wait a minute, aren't those good expectations? They could be great expectations. However, you're not God and you can't make him do that. God can change his heart on it. So we're not saying, see, God, he came up with this whole thing of marriage, family, and, he wants to use a husband to meet those husband needs. However, okay, so, and I asked why, what do you want in a husband? You want a provider, you want a protector, you want someone to respect you also and to spend quality time and nurture you and all that. Yeah. Okay. So yes, those are great. But if we take them off our husband, give them to God, and we remember that God is the one who can do that for us, he can meet those needs. Then sometimes when he uses your husband to meet them, then that's bonus, but you'll remember the source is God. And then when your husband comes home and he's all stressed and he doesn't have it to give you, then you get it from God. It makes up for his lack. On the opposite side, we have to crawl out from underneath the expectations that people and ourselves put on ourselves. So we talk a lot about that, like just give those to the Lord. Let the Lord guide you and direct you in how to be for that relationship.
Well, and even our own expectations that we have learned that maybe we don't even realize are expectations that we've learned a long time ago, and we've played that role for as long as we, and for as long as we've known it, and don't even recognize that we have another option to play another role, or and that we can shake off that expectation of ourselves, and we can stop living under that level of heaviness and burden. But we have to recognize the first step in changing anything is awareness. So, really, I love that you actually, you know, go through that and help people identify, or help, you know, ask them to identify those things, because it's so important that we self-reflect.
Well, and you know, we were talking about a while ago about what's going on in the world right now. I think there's a scripture that says there's a shaking going on to where, like in Hebrews, it says something about God's going to have a shaking to where all the things that can't be shaken off are shaken off until that which cannot be shaken, which is a foundation of faith in God, is not going to be shaken. So, you know, actually these things can help us, those things that are happening to us in the world and also in our attention-filled relationships, step back and say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to shake off of me? And then it can be a positive to where you're stripped of all that petty stuff. And we don't have time. We don't have time to, you know, worry about little petty stuff. And that's what's causing divorces and all that. It's crazy.
That's exactly right. So, well, and we could talk all day, and I love hearing all of this. But I want to, is there anything, you know, for that person out there who is still stuck and they are really struggling and they're in bondage and they're wrecking, something that you've said has really resonated maybe in one area or another, is there, what wisdom and encouragement do you want to offer them today, right now? And you guys, if this is you, you know, just really pay attention to that stirring in your heart, and don't shame yourself for it. Don't condemn yourself for it. Don't, you know, it's not to judge. It's just to pay attention to, because it's an alarm system in your body, your heart saying, yes, there is something that needs to get taken care of. Tammy, what do you want to say to them?
Well, the enemy wants to use all these things to make you focused on yourself so much. And you talked about an awareness that we need to have. Yes, we need to have self-awareness, but not necessarily self-focused so much. And we are just so focused on our own needs being met or not met that we're missing it. Lord, show us. I tell clients, put your hand, and those that are listening, you can do this now, even though you don't see me, you hear me, but put your hand over your eyes, like cover your eyes. And now open your eyes, and what do you see? Well, you see nothing, or I see dark. But I do see my hand somewhat. I see a little bit of light coming through in between the fingers. Okay, now hold your hand arm's length out. And what do you see? Well, I see my hand, but I see all the things around me. I see, you know, the bookshelf. I see the door. I see all this. Okay, that hand is representing what you're going through right now, your stuff that's getting you down. And the enemy wants you to focus on that. Now, what we're not saying is just get over it. It's not there. Name it, claim it. It's not even there.
Or cover it up with some Bible verse. That we're not trying to say cover it. Just speak a Bible verse to yourself and accept it when you don't feel it. We're not saying that either.
We're seeing that it is there, but look at the perspective. God's perspective will always bring peace and calm. And we want to, Lord, you said if we're humble, you will lift us up. And I heard somebody recently, I don't even know who it was, said humility is not thinking of yourself. How do you word that? It's actually, it's thinking of yourself less, but not thinking less of yourself. That's what it was. It's not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. And so we want to just give all of that total surrender to the Lord. Lord, I just look to you. And when the enemy tells you these lies, oh, you'll never amount to anything. You're not. What if you turn around and said, hey, that's right. I'm not, but God looks at me and he counts me worthy, even though I'm not worthy in my sin, but God paid the price. And now I am worthy. So I'm not going to listen to that. Watch where you put your butt. You know, when you say, but it cancels out what you just said. Like, Well, I know God's kind of supposed to supply all my needs, but my husband just lost his job, or I just lost my job, or I just that. Wait a minute. What if you said, my husband just lost his job, but I know
right. Yes.
Is my provider, and I look forward to seeing what he does.
That's exactly right. But this is an opportunity for me to see him show up in a greater right. way.
And faith is not faith until it's tested.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Wow. You know, I could go on and on.
Oh, I could too. And I could let you go on and on and on. I love it. I love it. I love your heart and your spirit. Guys, I told you you'd love her. We're going to have in the show notes how everybody can get in touch with you and all your information so people can contact you if they want to. Come see you for inner healing prayer, and your book is available training. Absolutely. And your books are available on Amazon. Is that the best place to get them? Okay. So check those out on Amazon. And, any other piece of encouragement you want to leave our listeners with today before we go?
Oh, just, you know, this one scripture I was contemplating today, let love be without hypocrisy. And I started thinking about that. It's like, okay, then the Lord, we need to check our heart motives when we're in these relationships. What did I just say? Why do I want to say that or do that? Is it an ulterior motive or is it a pure motive? And also, let love be without hypocrisy. Sometimes we treat God like he is a hypocrite in his love, and we don't receive what he has for us, but he is definitely not. That's why you can fear God instead of man, because what is fearing? And I said this in the book too. Fear, when you fear something, you're in essence saying that has control over me. Okay, well, God has totally pure heart motives. And so to surrender control of your life to him, he will never take advantage of you. He will never gaslight you. He will never do all these things that we talk about.
Not possible. Doesn't even have it in him. Yeah.
He just protects you. And so when we fear the Lord, we have this holy awe and reverence of him. We will be protected. So that's what I will end with today.
So I just pray that there is an outpouring of God's spirit of protection and provision and holiness and peace.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
All of the things, Lord, that are of you. So we just receive that right now. And we thank you. So, and thanks, Tammy, so much for sharing your heart with us today. And
thank you. I enjoy it.
Yes, absolutely. And you guys, check the show notes and you can go on her website and see all of, and Facebook and see all of the programs that she offers, all of for writers and speakers, for the trainings, for the equipping for inner healing prayer. If you want to learn that, or if you just want to have it done yourself, she can do it all. So, and also her books on Amazon. So, all right. Well, you guys have a great rest of the day. And remember that you were not created to struggle, strive, and survive, but you were created to thrive. And so let's start living that way. And we will see you right back here on the next episode of the Warrior Arise podcast. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining me today on the Warrior Arise podcast. I hope you were inspired and empowered to live and lead bravely, freely, and authentically you. I look forward to our next episode together, and I invite you to subscribe to be notified of new episodes as they are released. If this podcast impacted you, share it with a friend or a loved one. Also, please write a review on iTunes.